Anti-establishment historians tend to be an unpopular lot, and my own works will undoubtedly serve to reinforce this attitude by those who have published garbage adorned as history. It is my intent to make enemies, to topple their cherished pillars, to silence those charlatans who have sold their fictions off as facts. My mission is to educate those willing to know. I have no doubt I will lock horns with many along the way. The materials that I offer in my books are for those who are unafraid of the dark, who want the truth undiluted, direct. The ancient past, behind-the-scenes happenings throughout all time periods, censored histories, the academic cover-ups, real facts about race, religion, subversive societies, and even predictive systems of analysis by which future events can be known beforehand or uncovered and explained. Archaics is for the public domain to come to a place where they can receive information that has not been diluted. It has not been censored. You're not going to like some of the things you hear. Some of the many videos are going to tick you off. They're disturbing. The core things that we have been taught since we were introduced into this world have to be peeled back layer by layer by layer for us to fully comprehend the absolute medium of deception that we are totally immersed within. Our world is not what you think it is, but it is a beautiful place. It's all a matter of perception. But where we've been in the past in the collective, as a species, as a race, and where we have traveled in the past up until the present, in our personal lives, has everything to do with where we're going. One who is properly informed is not easily deceived. The fact that so much energy has been expended in covering up the truth about our past can only mean that, though we are blind to it, we must be such a threat to our controllers that burying the past was the only recourse they had in maintaining their power. Or, said another way, we are more than we suppose ourselves to be. Anuna Files, Part 21, Nemesis X Object and the Coming Vapor Canopy Apocalypse. 5239 BC began the new Nemesis simulation, probably an ancestor simulation initiated by humans to better understand how the collapse of our binary system could have been either avoided or a means of survival could have been discovered. The original solar system consisted of a day star and a lesser star, both luminaries. The day star was brilliant and had in its orbital family the Apen, or Phoenix. Luna, our moon today, was formerly a world called Kengu. Earth, our world, the dark satellite, and the Nemesis X object. Some call it Nibiru. All five of these bodies orbited the day star, which is located at 33 degrees incline far below present Sol. The lesser star, our present Sol, had six planetary bodies, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, and Neptune. 11 worlds in this original binary star system. A differential binary system with two ecliptic planes. The simulation is programmed to last 7,344 years precisely to 2106 Common Era, or 85 years from today. From outside this holography, this 7344 year period in three periods of 2448 years each actually occurs in a very short time, hours or days. To those personalities inside the holography, the experience follows the protocols of real time outside the simulacrum, so we experience life inside with no shortcuts, long days and lives. Under the perfect biospheric conditions of the day star, the greater sun, and a lesser sun, far away to illuminate gently the night skies, the prehistoric creatures known to us as dinosaurs from the alleged Precambrian to the Jurassic periods flourished, growing to immense sizes because of the vitamin, nitrogen-enriched soil and vegetation, oxygen-dense atmosphere, an outer water canopy that magnified the heavens while also diffusing light and deflecting away harmful radiation. However, This was not millions of years ago, as we will see here. Even today, under pristine conditions and diet, amphibians and reptiles grow to truly astonishing sizes. Even in Genesis, there is no mention in the creation account of a moon, but instead, the text reads, "And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." This text concerns luminaries, the holo field above, not the moon. Simulacrum holography begins with 11 worlds peacefully orbiting their own stars at angles of the ecliptic planes in a double star system, until the day star, the brighter luminary, suddenly collapsed. A dark star is formed after an immense discharge of X-flare activity. The Nemesis star was born. Nemesis simulation protocol begins. Earth is catapulted out of Nemesis orbit and in 270 years stabilizes into an orbit as the third planet from Sol's surface. The lesser light has now taken the position of the fallen day star. Earth's new home is shown perfectly by the Titius Bode law to be out of place here orbiting Sol. Astronomers have discovered a disturbing phenomenon concerning Earth's orbit position and distance from the sun. There is a mathematical formula belonging to all the other planets in this solar system, exempting Pluto, which is probably a lost moon, that forms a precise mathematic pattern that Earth does not fit into. Each planet is about twice the distance from the surface of the sun than the preceding planet. On a scale of millions of kilometers, the distances of the planets from the sun are Mercury at 58, Venus 110, which is times 2 of Mercury, Earth 150, which is only 40 from Venus, Mars is 230, which is times 2 of Venus, asteroid belt is 440, which is times 2 of Mars, Jupiter is 780, which is times 2 of the asteroid belt, Saturn is 1430, which is times 2 of Jupiter, Uranus is 2880, which is times 2 of Saturn, Neptune, Pluto alternate their orbits. This data shows that Earth is an intruder world, fits snugly between the orbital belts of both Venus and Mars. Earth is tilted at 23.5 degrees obliquity, but Mercury and Venus are not, because they are not gravitationally locked to the dark star or Nemesis ecliptic plane. Mathematically, Earth can be removed to make the pattern perfect. Our planet does not belong in this solar system. We are a sojourner here, as men on Earth are sojourners through material existence until the death, the exit of the simulation. Earth, after 270 years, stabilizes. Humans survive in underground societies, humanity having lived in the Daystar system, a fantastic civilization before the star collapsed. In 439 BC, the Earth undergoes another destruction with sudden appearance of the dead world Kingu that also catapulted away from the Nemesis system and slowly approached Earth. This is referred as the Capture Flood or the Capture of Luna, a real event with many worldwide traditions remembering long ago when Earth had no moon. Cited in old books by Hans Bellamy, Hans Boringer, and Emanuel Velikovsky. But this Luna is not a moon, but a dead world, hollowed, inhabited by Anuna who escaped the Nemesis system. Our moon's orbit is dead. It merely rolls around the Earth in 28 days. Many Anuna, with their technology, descend and build a fantastic civilization in North America. Precisely 144 years after the Capture Flood, another Nemesis object enters the Sol system, the Appen, later called Fink, Fing, Typhon, Fenris, Phoenix. This major cataclysm was 3895 BC in the month of May, but unlike Luna, the Appen moved along its original ecliptic path from north to south over Sol's ecliptic, where Earth now orbited. Appen deposited a vast dust veil of red particles that blanketed the Earth, caused thousands of volcanoes to erupt, which created very rapidly the vapor canopy on Earth, just like the one Venus has today. 3895 BC begins the vapor canopy world of 1656 years duration, the pre-flood world of the Book of Genesis, which describes that there was no rain, only a mist that watered the ground. For years, people built walled communities to keep safe from the gigantic animals and insects that thrived under this new biosphere. Settlements like Jericho, Göbekli Tepe, Akambaro, and Catalhoyuk. Akambaro, Mexico has yielded over 33,500 objects of ceramic stone, including jade and knives of obsidian sharper than steel and still used today in heart surgeries. Bizarre statuettes are among them, some of a very erotic nature. Representations of Negroes, Orientals, of bearded Caucasians, and even Bigfoot-type creatures. Humans riding and interacting with anatomically correct prehistoric animals are in this collection. But this was not millions of years ago. Radiocarbon analysis estimates they date about 4000 BC. That's a real close approximate for 3895 BC, within 110 years actually. Discovered by Jules Rimet in 1944, the artifacts were unearthed with the teeth of an extinct Ice Age horse and the skeleton of a mammoth, just south of Texas at Akambaro, Mexico. The condition of giantism in flora and fauna are genomic, triggered by environmental stimuli. All life forms have vast arrays of palindromic latent gene sequences that can activate in seconds under the right conditions. In 1902, just after Phoenix passed in the month of May, two scientists studied the volcano at Mount Pelee just after it exploded, killing all 30,000 people on Martinique in the French Caribbean. These two researchers were exposed to an ambient radiation that bewildered them. For all over the island, plants and insects instantly grew to astonishing sizes. Both scientists grew inches taller. One in his 60s grew 2 inches in height. But this is an old fact of history that rewrites the entire ages, eras, epics, and periods of the dinosaurs, because this vapor canopy event has happened in human living memory in the 4th millennium BC. Traditions, monuments, and ceramics prove humans lived among dinosaurs. The last period was 1,656 years in length, called more popularly as the Antediluvian World, until a second cataclysm destroyed the vapor canopy, which is known as the Great Flood. With an ocean above, the vapor canopy, harmful UVs did not penetrate. Oxygen and carbon dioxide was a hundredfold what it is today, causing plants, forests, insects, animals, and people to grow to gigantic proportions and very quickly. It began the age of heroes. Men healed in minutes, held their breath for long periods of time. They lifted weights that are unimaginable today. In the 456th year of the vapor canopy, or pre-flood history, the third world from the old fallen Daystar system arrived in the Sol system. Like Earth, Luna, and Apen, it too passed right between Venus and Mars, where Earth and Luna were now located. It traveled the dark star ecliptic, but took much longer because its total orbit is 792 years. This is the Nemesis X object, better known as Nibiru. This is the literary beginning of the Anuna Anunnaki history. Every text concerning their arrival to Sumer mentions that it was exactly 432,000 units of time before the great deluge, the vapor canopy, collapsed. This 432,000 divided by the pre-flood draconian calendar of 360 days is precisely 12 centuries, 1200 years, which is perfect for 3439 BC to 2239 BC. Great Flood is 12 centuries. Astronomer Royal for Scotland, Piazzi Smith, in the 1870s wrote that the descending passage in the Great Pyramid points to 3440 BC. He was 1 year off, pointed directly at Alpha Draconis, the Eye of the Dragon, or the ancient antediluvian pole star, the pyramid identifying the very 360-day stellar calendar it was constructed under. 3439 to 2647 BC was 792 years. This is technolithic civilization. It begins with the arrival of the Anuna, who possess an intact infrastructure in fleets from Dilmun, but ultimately traveling from ancient cataclysm-torn North America. This is the contact period. Anuna with Enki arrive in the 456th year of the Vapor Canopy world just months after Nemesis X passes in quakes, flooding, and great destruction across America. 2905 BC, the Anuna build the Great Pyramid at Akuzan at a site where Enki, later known as Enoch, vanished in 2909 BC. The Great Pyramid required 90 years of construction. The Great Pyramid concealed the rectilinear internal and external dimensions of a 7,344-year holographic template of the simulacrum's entire running duration from 5239 to 2106 Common Era, as already shown in our other videos and published books. Major mining and industry conducted throughout the Pentapolis, the five Anuna cities. They each have their own dynasty as shown on the Sumerian king list, and different Anuna dynasties have their own racially tailored human populations of dark Caucasoid, high oriental servant classes, the Mongoloid and Negroid workers, and the black-headed Sumerians who were stewards with the most freedoms and privileges. The Anuna dynasties were small families, bearded men possessing amazing technology, ruling over huge, smooth-skinned, dark peoples unable to grow facial hair. With the departure of Enki, many other Anuna, a power vacuum filled quickly and enters the historical record as the Sumerian king list, the seven Anunnaki kings of the Pentapolis, who rule the final 241,200 shars till the Great Flood, or 670 years of the Draconian system. The Anuna that remained in the Pentapolis began interbreeding campaigns until they succeeded in producing humans that were totally compatible in characteristics with themselves. The darker, smooth-skinned races of goddess-worshipping humans that served them in their racial castes were rapidly multiplying against them, becoming more difficult to control. Outside the fortified Pentapolis and outlying cities, the world was full of dangerous vapor canopy creatures and Age of Dragons. The continued reappearance of the Apen, called throughout history as the Sky Dragon, the Phoenix, found its origin in this period. Suddenly, the majority of the Anuna vanished. Governments collapsed. Chaos became prevalent. Infighting occurred. The Anuna that remained had become overlords, later called Anunnaki, tyrant kings. 2647 BC was the Nemesis X object Nibiru again as it passed through the Sol system. The Anuna population disappears completely for 792 years after they first appeared, ending the contact period. The Anuna with Enki arrived in the 456th year of the Vapor Canopy, or 456 Annus Mundi, pre-flood year. This was 3439 BC, after the Nemesis X object passed a few months earlier. Now, in the 456th year of the Vedic Kali Yuga calendar, Nemesis X object passes through the system again. And there is a departure of the Anuna, the exodus of the Anunnaki from the known urban centers. 3103 BC began the Vedic chronology, according to centuries-old Vedic and Indian scholarship. Now, the final 408 years before the collapse of the vapor canopy, before the Great Flood, is called the Abandonment and Shock Period. Also, it's called the Post-Technolithic Period. While it seems that history alludes that the Anuna arrived by Nibiru and then departed 792 years when Nibiru appeared again, this is only partially the case. The ancient appearance of Enki and his fleets were from disaster-worn America, and it was a return to the Americas and British Isles that resulted in the Anuna exodus. They departed the old world back to the lands of their nativity, and amazingly, this 408-year period is remembered in the ancient American legends. Wars, famine, cannibalism, loss of order, return to primitivism, goddess cults turned dark, human sacrifice, and people seeking a return of the Anuna built images on the ground that can be seen from the sky, hoping that passing Anuna aircraft called Veminas would make a stop. The vapor canopy world endured 1656 years, meaning gigantic and vicious animals just got bigger and more numerous. The gigantic walls of the world's most ancient cities are pre-cataclysm. They are before 2239 BC, and they were built to keep large animals out, according to David Hatcher Childress in Lost Cities of Atlantis, Ancient Europe, on page 205. He cites many sources. Andrew Collins remarked that the enormity of the walls was because the people of Jericho desperately sought to keep something out. Göbekli Tepe, Genesis of the Gods, Andrew Collins said this on page 218. It is my position that the extra high and thick walls were not to keep humans out. That was unnecessary. They were to keep large predatory megafauna at bay and away from humans. Then, as we have shown in many videos, the Appen returns in May 2239 BC, 1656 years after it caused the vapor canopy to appear in 3895 BC. It initiates a collapse of this in the marine mesosphere of water that is remembered as the Great Flood of Noah. Great destructions, but without the vapor canopy's unique atmospheric pressure, oxygen-rich biosphere, the flora and fauna return to sizes we recognize today. The end of the giants. This begins the Heliolithic period, or birth of the sun. According to worldwide traditions that tell of the fall of the older violet sky, the four sun ages now begin in ancient American records. The Heliolithic maritime empire begins just after the vapor canopy collapses, when fleets of technologically advanced Caucasians set up port fortifications all over Asia, India, the Persian Gulf, Magan, along Egypt's coast. Their North American civilization thrived the entire 408 years until the cataclysm. This Caucasian-dominated maritime empire built cities in Peru, in Bolivia, Central America, the Mediterranean, Egypt, Phoenicia, Anatolia, the Dardanelles, Sardinia, Tigris, Euphrates, Canaan, Harappa, Elam, and China, and their rule endured 552 years, till it was ended in 1687 BC by the return of the Phoenix, recalled by ancient writers as the Ogygian Deluge. The ruination was catastrophic. Quakes the culprit. Traditions from three different continents describe a 25-year darkness. The sun had died. Starvation, mass migrations, depopulation, disease, a dark age. Loss of the last of the post-technolithic technology still possessed from their Anuna forefathers. 1622 BC begins the awakening of the ancient world that we are familiar with, devoid of the fantastic events recorded in earlier times. Now literacy begins stirring, cultures develop, architectural styles are not so gigantic, they are austere, but become decorative now. Tribalism results in race-based urban planning, politics and trade are highly regimented. Temples are built where priesthoods begin to realize their power over the people. The fantastic world before is remembered as tales, tradition, holy writ, but the priests adopt a syllabus for the people, versions of events that turn the altruistic Anuna benefactors into wicked Anunnaki overlords and gods, who to be sacrificed to be offered, given offerings in temples and treasuries, inventing verses like this to be found on cuneiform tablets. He who fears the Anunnaki lengthens his days. What this history means is that it will be possible to see dinosaurs again sooner than you think. Our own world of cities and technologically advanced infrastructure can change so fast in a vapor canopy event that just months after the canopy has thickened the mesosphere, people would truly see gigantic life forms, many mutated to conform to the new oxygen and carbon dioxide density and atmospheric pressure. What's harrowing is that the mechanism that caused the last vapor canopy event in 3895 BC is also the mechanism that ended it in 2239 BC, remembered as the Great Flood, vapor canopy collapse, the day the sky fell, caused by the Phoenix phenomenon, the reappearance of the Appen. This same Phoenix that we have shown in 15 videos and 35 posts is returning in May 2040. 18 years from now. Remember, under vapor canopy biospheric conditions, the human body grows faster, can hold the breath for longer periods of time. Open wounds heal in minutes, scratches and bumps in seconds. And this is not good. May 2040 is the sixth seal of the apocalypse. The sun darkening, return of the vapor canopy like Venus, of the Appen's final pass in this simulation. The revelation says after the seals are broken, the trumpet judgments will begin when men will seek to die but cannot. Many of us will be alive in 18 years. The latent palindromic gene sequences in our DNA can be switched on in seconds. Changes in the human body can rapidly occur as environmental stimuli induce them from dormancy. It already happened in antiquity, and by the same Phoenix phenomenon, returning now. A new vapor canopy world begins with the sixth seal of the apocalypse, and this makes the rest of the Revelation prophecies take on new meanings. The seven trumpets, the seven thunders, and the seven vials of God's wrath.